Hello, everyone. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com, the law office of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. Today is Thursday, April 25th, 2013. This is a community conference call wherein we try to provide pointers to your questions. By participating in this call, you don't become our clients and we don't become your lawyers. This is basically for information purposes. Do note, the call is being recorded. It will be made publicly available. So if you ask a question at the end of the call, please keep your identities confidential. It's probably the best way to go. You can make up a name if you like in order to communicate with me. That said, let me get started on the questions that have been posted. The first question is New 400, who has written? They want to know about the CBP FBI name crime check. Number one, what does Customs and Border Patrol check for in the N-400 process? Actually not CBP, it's USCIS. There are five or six checks that they do. One is their own databases, which includes interagency databases, CBP, et cetera. All of them are included, the Border Patrol checks. All of that is included in that database. Then they have something called identification check, EDIT, I think, which is basically checking on the names within their own records. Then they have an FBI check for crimes, which basically looks at your entire criminal history, if there is any. And then they have one database, which is a semi-database check called the name check, which is done by the FBI. It basically looks at your name and the names of people that are known to be problems. And sometimes they actually go in and do manual checks on that. So FBI has to go in and perform a manual check, which can take a lot of time. I'm trying to remember this. I think there's name checks. Of course, fingerprint checks, which is part of the process. And I think there are 15, 20 agencies that are involved in that. They have a database that they compare your biometrics with. So these are the various checks. If an interview is scheduled, does that mean that CBP FBI name checks have come back? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. They can schedule an interview and then delay the result. Although, from what I recall, the policy in most regions has been to wait for the name checks and all the checks to clear before scheduling people for an interview, for the simple reason that there is a law on the books that says USCIS has a certain number of days, I think it's 120, within which to finish your naturalization process after they have interviewed you. So they should be heading in that direction. Are they uniformly there where they schedule you only after the name checks, after the security checks are clear? I don't think so. Three, if there are any issues with the checks, would this have been known before the interview schedule? Again, there is no consistency that I know of. Do you have any reputable site or company I can use to do a crime check? FBI, actually, I think has, you can do an FBI check on yourself. Something like, not a pollen in the air today. You can have an FBI check done on yourself. I think they charge $25 or $30. Then Yemi mentioned on the conference call about a 10-year green card sent to USCIS for correction and not having received back, and you said it's okay to file an N-400. Yeah. That's what I said the last time. I said what happens is if you've already filed naturalization, you don't need to renew your green card. That's what I remember from the last time I checked into this issue. And they probably, USCIS probably will not issue you a new green card because your naturalization is pending, from what I recall, unless you have some extraordinary circumstances such as the need to travel, okay? Akshit wants to know, can my Afghan visa be rejected if parents slash siblings hold green cards? He is from India, pursuing master's in Netherlands. will be joining Stanford to pursue PhD with full financial support. Now, parents and brother hold green card. Parents are living in India. Brother resides in the U.S. Is this going to be a problem? Not necessarily, Akshay. Really, the best thing you can argue, if asked to, is that, look, I am getting into one of the best schools in the country. They are paying for my tuition fully. What possible incentive could I have to become illegal or to break U.S. laws? I have never broken the laws of any country. The problem is demonstrating ties to your home country is such a difficult thing. I mean, how do you demonstrate ties? My parents live there. Well, they can move. I have real estate that can be sold. I have money that can be taken abroad. So really, it's to me, this proving your ties to your country is more a matter of paperwork than of real substance. If consulates want to give you a visa, they'll give it to you. If they don't want to give it, they'll create things like country ties, etc. That's my feeling. The bottom line is really, ties to your country is a fiction, which may be true in extreme cases. You know, if you've got everybody in your family living in India and nobody here, you could probably argue that I have family ties. Okay. But very few people have that. Some members of the family may be already in USA or outside US, outside India. So what documents can be shown as evidence that I'll return back to India? I think your argument is the way to go. Okay. Your argument that, look, I will never break the law, that's the way to go. Can I appear for an F1 interview in Amsterdam? Yes, you can. Can repetition of university help to soften consular presumption? Yes, I believe so. If you're going to a university that's not recognized, it's just, you know, one of those universities that you've never heard of, as compared to Stanford, which hopefully everybody has heard of, I think your chances are better. Okay, good luck, Chief. Muskusha wants to know, need to file citizenship did not work for green card sponsor. So I read this email an hour ago. This is what you said. My husband, you said, was working for employer B. Employer A processed their green card, but they couldn't give him a job, so he continued working with employer B. The jobs are the same or similar. So I think then AC-21 will protect him. Even in future jobs, AC-21 applies. So is it going to be a problem for your and your child's naturalization? I don't think so. Okay. Wife and two kids want to do N-400? No problem. Do it. Okay. And wife, may, the child who's going to turn 18 may not have to do naturalization separately, but again, you know, why take a chance? Go ahead and file the N-400. That's fine. The addresses are going to be different. Wife and kids' addresses will be in Pennsylvania, husband is in New Jersey. No problem. No problem. I don't think of this as red flag at all, because it's not uncommon for families to have to separate because of job situation. Okay. Ginny Bhatt wants to know, green card process on L2 with or without EAD. Okay, let's look at this situation. My 6 years of H-1B completes in November 2013. Afterwards, I can move to L2 EAD as my wife has valid visa. Good. I work for employer A who does not sponsor green card. Employer B is ready to file, and then I'll join them after perm approval. One thing, let your lawyers carefully look at the ability to pay wages. That becomes a problem if you're not working for the employer, because the employer has to demonstrate that they can pay you. Okay? So that can become a problem if you're not already working for the employer. If I switch from H-1 to L-2 EAD right away, I will save the leftover 6 months of H-1B. That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to be on H-1. While your perm is filed. You can be on L2 EAD, no problem at all. Okay. Looking at my timelines, I may not be able to get my perm approved before my H-1B 6 years are completed. In that scenario, I will move to L2 with EAD. So once perm is approved, does the I-140 application require you to be on H-1B? No. You can be working on L2 EAD. That's no problem. Any visa wants to know spouse of a U.S. citizen. I'm a U.S. citizen planning to get married. What are my options? Most of the people in your situation, I advise file K-3 and I-130 together after you get married. Or you can bring her here on a K-1 and get married in USA, which might be faster. Okay. I would definitely not suggest anything like a student visa. K-3, 130 combo, or K-1. Okay. That's the way I would handle it. K-1 is fiancé visa when you are not yet married. But then you have to get married in USA. Abhay1266. In the last call, I asked if I can be employed in my wife-owned company. I do not want to be owner. Will doing AC21 this company still be a problem? Abhay, I think I mentioned to you last time that it's not so much that it's going to be a problem, yes or no. It's a matter of being a little bit gray, because this has not been tested. And USCIS keeps coming up with new shenanigans every time a few months past there's something new going on. So while this is allowed under the law, there's no law that says you cannot do it. If anything, Bill Gates' May 2005 memo says you can do it. You can transfer your green card AC21 to your own company. But what if, just to take a hypothetical, what if USCIS comes back and says, we are not convinced it's a real job because we are not convinced this is a real employer? Okay. There are no definitions. That's what bothers me. There are no definitions, no boundaries. Now, I hope that they don't do that. I know people who have done this kind of a transaction, not had a problem, but that's the part that bothers me. While they cannot ask directly for ability to pay wages from the new employer, which is your company, your wife's company, they can create other kinds of issues. I am not aware of any that they have created, but I simply don't like the idea of going into untested waters where we need to be conservative. Okay? So my feeling is you should, like I told you the last time, have a full-time job or at least a job offer, okay, for your AC21, which you generally want to join. And at the same time, you can work for your wife's company. So don't make that your mainstay. That would be my advice. Other than a very uneasy feeling, I have nothing else to tell you that, you know, if you were desperate, I would have said, yeah, go ahead and do it, if you had no other choice. But if you have a choice, I think we should exercise it. Cruz wants to know, my question refers to the new immigration reform bill, which has not yet passed. I'll become citizen in 2014, and then I want to petition my mother. I don't recall if they are taking away mother and parents. I don't recall if they are taking that away. You know, I'll have a full briefing for you, not this Friday. This Friday we are doing H1L1 for employers. But the following Friday, I want to cover family-based immigration. I want to cover physicians, national interest waivers, EB1 categories, EB2 categories, change in priority dates, what's going to happen, kind of all that area I want to cover next week. So let's wait till then. Of course, as a green card holder, you can't file until you get sworn in. You cannot really file for her. So at this point, there isn't much you can do. Okay? And in any case, we'll talk in greater detail next Friday. I expect to have the call, I think, at 11 a.m. next Friday. But we'll post it in the forums. Okay? Effect of CIR on firm labor certification for EB2 and EB3. You know, EB2 may even be exempt from firm under the new law. I don't recall the section, but there was, in reading through, I noticed that if you have a STEM degree or any master's or graduate degree, all you need is a job offer. Just a job offer, like currently we have for outstanding researchers. So we may not have any labor certifications requirement, PERM requirements for certain classes of individuals. And I believe it's all graduate students and STEM graduates, something like that, or PhDs and STEM graduates, something like that. By the way, the definition of STEM is interesting. If you look at the definition of STEM, we are using data from the, I want to say, the Department of Education, SIP codes. And the one of the things I noticed was that STEM includes only, even though they say science, STEM includes science, science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Okay? Even though they say science, it's not all sciences. They're talking about physical sciences only. Physical sciences, not all sciences. Okay? They have some special provisions for physicians as well. So wait until next week and we'll get into it in greater detail. I hope to have. See, the problem is there is so much to read, and in addition to that, it's not like I can take time off and just devote my entire time to the bill. Hopefully, American Immigration Lawyers Association or our organization would have, you know, they have people devoting 24 hours a day to just this, nothing else. They'll have better indicators out for us. Once they do that, then I can read what they say and read the bill itself and make my own conclusions. So for now, let's just sit tight, not talk about this. How do I renew? Bharat wants to say, how do I renew my TN visa with an approved I-140? Well, you know, this is problematic. So you've got to go for the H-1 at the earliest opportunity. If your priority date is current, I don't know which country you were born in, then it's great. You can file I-140, 45 together. But if you're going to do a TN extension, do it within U.S. Okay? Do it within USA. So while this H-1B is still sitting around, go ahead and do a TN premium processing. And as I recall it, once you file TN, so file it close to the end of your TN period. Once you file it, you have up to 240 days, almost 8 months, to continue working or until the decision is made. So that gives you some extra time. That's what I would do. May AC21 says, I'm very confused. Please help. Let's see what's going on. It's been 15 months since my I-45 is pending in EB2. 4.5 years, I-140 was approved. Planning to invoke AC21 to new employer with same or similar job in the same field of work, slightly higher base pay. That's fine. My sponsoring employer and I are in good terms. Now, if I leave and he's going to revoke my I-140, is that going to hurt me? No. No, this is a fairly safe process. You will keep your priority date and you will keep also your AC21 benefits. A lot of employers have to withdraw or revoke the I-140 because otherwise they cannot file efficiently or effectively for other employees because they have to prove ability to pay wages. So even our own clients, they end up revoking or withdrawing the I-140s. Jay Dinga says, one of my friend's family is in the U.S. They applied for a B2 extension, but then that was denied. But before the current B2 expired, they applied for F1. Here is the problem. There is a regulation on the books, as I recall, which says that if you want to convert from B2 to F1, you have to declare it at the border or at the airport when you're coming in. If you don't do that, they will not permit you to convert to F1. This is just a bad idea overall. B2 conversions are almost always a bad idea. Okay. What could be the options? Come back home and try to go back after some time. It's difficult. If you apply for student visa, etc., it'd be difficult. Stay on here. I don't recommend that. They'll get unlawful presence, and after 180 days of unlawful presence, they'll be barred from entering USA for 3 years. After 1 year of unlawful presence, they'll be barred for 10 years. And that bar has not been changed under the new law either. Okay. John 81, H-1B remainder question. So the problem here is this. Basically, remainder says, if you've been given an H-1 within the last 6 years, you are entitled to be to get H-1 without being subject to the quota for the amount of H-1 period that you did not use. In your case, because the 6 years are up until 2008, October 5th to April 8th, April 2008, yeah. So because you are within that 6 year period, I think it's definitely worth trying to be quota exempt, okay? Because you have been approved in the last 6 years. April 2008 is when the old approval expires. I think it's worth it. Is there a time limit till this, when till this option is available? I believe so. If you are, if you go past 6 years, I think there'll be a problem, as far as I know. There are a couple of provisions that kind of militate against each other, but as far as I can tell, there'll be a problem. Venkatesh had a question about approved I-129. He posted three or four different ways. Please don't do that. If your questions get to me, you sent it to Monica, you posted it here twice, then you posted it on immigration.com too. And I recall answering your question by saying there is no such thing as I-129 petition number. There is no number given to the petition packet. There is a number given to the approval, and that's what you will use. Okay? That's the receipt number you will use. And I've already answered this question. I do not think I need to repeat it. But if you're on the phone and if you have any follow-ups, I'll be happy to take them. CIR effect on F4 applicants. So what will happen to the backlog, et cetera? There are several things in the law. You know, I don't remember all of them because I'm still reviewing it. First of all, it is quite obvious that the numbers have been increased. From what I could tell, again, I haven't done all the homework yet. The overall visa numbers have been increased. They also have people whose cases have been pending X number of years can apply through the point system. So there's a bunch of things that they have. I personally think that everything will be expedited. How many visas and all? I started reading that a couple of days ago. It gave me a headache. My God, that thing is so difficult to decipher. The reason is the way it has to be done, because this act is an amendment of some provisions. So we have to take the old law, take the amendment, combine the two, and then do the numbers. It's just too much work. I do have, you know, this is still a bill. It's not the law. If it was the law, I would have spent the time. Still a bill. We don't know what's going to happen finally. So sit tight. Hopefully by next Friday, I will have the information for you. Okay? Mohan says H-1B transfer after I-140 approved. I have an EB-2 I-140 approved. Got 1 year extension, not three. You should have gotten three. Unless you had a contract for employment for only 1 year, or your end client only gave you a letter for only 1 year, they should have given you 3 years. So if you change your job in the next 2-3 months, you should be able to get 3 years, I believe. If the new employer files for green card, do they have to start from firm or directly I-140? You only have an I-140 approval. They have to start from firm, but you'll be able to carry your priority date forward unless the old I-140 is revoked for fraud, etc. If the employer, old employer revokes it, you should still be able to keep your priority date. Okay? This is a good question, number four. Does the green card filing by the new employer have to be same or similar position? No. That's for AC-21. When your I-485 has been pending 180 days. This is a totally new green card, so it can be completely different position. Are there any risks in job change right now? I can't really tell you that. H-1 can be denied. Green cards can you know, there's a possibility they may not get approved. Very difficult for me to comment on that. Using EAD first time, Rajiji, namaste, and same to you, sir. Namaste. I am with my current employer, H-1B, who filed my green card. I don't remember what you asked last time. I'm just going by what you have given me. I am with my current employer, H-1B, who filed my green card. I-140 approved. 45 was filed a year back. Got an EAD. If my employer revokes I-140 without letting me know, can I use EAD? Yes, absolutely. You can use your EAD. Make sure your AR-11 is updated so that USCIS knows where you are. Because before they revoke your 485, they're supposed to send you a notice. Okay? Is using EAD dependent on whether I-140 is active or not? No, it is not. EAD does not depend upon I-140. It depends upon I-485. Will it be wise to switch from H-1 to EAD now with the current employer? Why? What's the need? If they revoke I-140 and H-1B, can I stay in the U.S.? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can get your documents through Freedom of Information Act. File FYI request right now. Why not? Both with the Department of Labor and USCIS. How long does it get to get documents? A few weeks. Difficult to predict exactly, but a few weeks. Chris, 0312, friend is not a U.S. citizen, but married soon. His wife divorced him before they were even able to attend the USCIS appointment. What can my friend do? The way it works is, if the marriage was entered into good faith, which means it was a good marriage, it was a marriage that was done with honest intentions, then he might be able to get his conditional status waived, even though his wife is not joining. So look at the instructions on Form I-751. I strongly recommend getting a lawyer locally with you. Okay? Immigration reform, H-4 reciprocity and EB-3 priority date improvement. I have the following two questions. Considering the new clause related to granting H-4 EAD based upon reciprocity rules, can you please advise if Indian immigration laws permit the equivalence? In other words, do Indian laws have that provision where somebody with an H-1 can have their H-1 type visa in India can have their spouse working in India so that we get the corresponding benefit in USA? And the answer is, I have no clue. I practiced law in India only for 2 years, 84 through 86. After that, I have no contact with Indian laws. So I do not know. I'll have to research it. When the time comes, if this does become law, we will, of course, get it all researched and taken care of. Based upon the proposed changes for increasing cap and other changes to clear the backlog, can you please advise what kind of projections can be made in terms of improvement? Well, I can't give you the numbers, but there is definitely going to be very quick improvement. Because as you know, they are taking away per country quotas. That's what they are thinking. If they take away per country quotas, so instead of, you know, right now the visa system, the green card system is very unfair. Because whether you are, I said this before, whether you are a 1.3 billion people company, a country like India, or a 800 people country like Vatican City, you have the same raw number of visas. And if Vatican City doesn't use those visas, they go away. But if you put everything all in one pot and everybody takes from the same pot, no matter which country you're from, of course it's going to get a lot faster. Okay. How fast, how much difference, I do not know. Because there are other channels also. People with STEM degrees will have their own channel. Master's, PhDs will have their own channels. So you can convert to those channels. YBZ was in proceedings because he was at Strayer University and then went out of status and then was put in proceedings in immigration court, took voluntary departure. Now the question is, can I come back on student visa? Very difficult. Very, very, very difficult. B1 or F1 visa is very difficult. H1B might be okay. If you can go to H1B, that might be okay. Epidural support, uncles living in USA, good ties with country, none of that is going to help in my opinion. But I need to warn you all, I can be wrong. Just a couple of days ago, I was proven wrong in something I'd estimated. I was very happy to be wrong because somebody got benefited from my being wrong. But the point is, nobody's God. I can only tell you statistically what's going to happen. Can you get sponsorship from your uncle's company? Sure. Sure. I think H-1B is the only thing you can try, as far as I can tell. EJ Kumar, impact of new immigration policy on I-140 and green card. I would like to know, does the new proposed immigration bill lift the country quota? Yes. From fiscal year 2014, I think it's 1 year from 2015, so it could be 2016. I'm not sure. I don't remember the exact provision. Also, what are the implications to change employer? What is the estimated wait time for 2012 priority date to get green card once it becomes law? I would say within 2-3 years, that's my guess. Please don't hold me to it. Because I feel that if these reforms do get implemented, we should see considerable speed up in the green card numbers. But this is a raw guess based upon bits and pieces I picked up in reading the bill. I really haven't, there's no way I can tell you that I have great expertise in this area yet. Of course, by the time I'm done with it, I will know everything there is to know about the bill. But part of the reason that we are not putting in so much effort into it is we don't know what it's going to look like. When it becomes law, we don't know what it's going to look like. So we have enough idea about what's going on. Certain provisions that are troubling and alarming, we are very concerned about. Those that are beneficial, good. We're not paying a lot of attention to it. That's the way I'm doing. Let somebody else do it who's got a full-time job doing this. Once they give me their opinion, I'll look at their opinion, I'll look at what the law says and form my own opinions. Give me K visa. I'm an American citizen in Bolivia. I don't want to get married to my girlfriend, but I want to give my kid citizenship. That's easy enough to do. That's straightforward, you're right. If I don't want to marry her, what route can I take in bringing her here? You cannot. You cannot bring her here. There really is no way that I can think of to get any kind of permanent visa for her if you're not going to get married to her. The last question that was posted, DKS 1021. Cancel a change of status submitted with H-1B. Let me start with some general comments. Let's say I am on F-1 status. I file for change of status to H-1. H-1 change of status gets approved. Correct misunderstanding number one. If H-1 is revoked, you go back and say, revoke my H-1, I don't want it. That does not put you back into F-1. Okay? If approved change of status is revoked, that does not put you back into the old status. You have to reapply for that status. That said, let me see. Currently on L1B, extended I-94, I-94 is valid till December 2014 with employer A. L1 visa expired, but status is good till 2014. B filed H-1B with a change of status, got selected, got change of status. And that's beginning October 1st, 2013. Okay. So you want to continue working with L1 employer for a couple of more months beyond 1st October. Okay. So my understanding is if I continue with L1 employer beyond 1st October, it'll be illegal. Yes. If your change of status is approved and the date has arrived of the COS, you cannot continue working. I don't want to lose my H-1B lottery either. Can I change it to consular processing? If the case is still pending, I think that's what you said, the case is still pending. Or you got the receipt number. What you can try doing is this. Be an interesting exercise. We've done something like this in the past. Call USCIS and figure out if they have any particular method to move a case from COS to consular processing. If they don't give you any suggestions, send a letter with an amended form I-129 signed by the employer requesting that they are asking for consular processing instead of change of status. That might work. Okay. If I could convert, how do I convert to consular processing? I think I've covered your questions. All right, folks. Let me ask you guys, first of all, anyone who has already posted questions, if you have any questions, follow up on what you have posted. No new question. Posted question. Press *5 on your phone. *5. One, two, three hands. Let me make sure it's three hands. Okay. I'm calling on you in the order in which I received the, in which you logged in. So the first person to log in, from Connecticut, go ahead, 203 area code. Hello? Let me make
Hello?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
I can hear you. Go ahead, please. I can hear you.
Hi, Rajiv. This is regarding the change of status cancellation. So the USCIS has not approved it. It's still under processing. I can track it. But my situation is it is it guaranteed that they would accept this change of, if I try to do it this way, if I file the amendment petition to convert it to consular posting, is it guaranteed to that they will agree? If they don't, then they end up making a change of status and it's already approved, and by that time I am actually don't have any other option but to pursue with this particular COS or go back my country. So right now I'm in dilemma wherein do I actually revoke it or try to convert it to consular posting? What is better? Or even if and the other question would be, if I try to revoke it while it is being under, does it put me back to L1 or my L1 is already jeopardized because I already have the receipt number?
I had a case this morning. This morning I got some information, something similar to yours. Okay. The H1, the guy was on L1, just like you. And we were not sure he was going to be able to get his L1B approval because they were, USCIS had created a lot of difficulty, but he was entitled to H1. So we moved to convert to H1. He got into the lottery, but then his L1B got approved, just like yours, okay?
So mine is, L1 is already approved, is an extension period right now?
Listen. It's close enough. That's exactly what your situation is. It's close. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the L1B got approved. Now he wants to keep the L1 because wife has L2 and she's got EAD. So we immediately asked USCIS, and this was a premium processing case. We asked USCIS to withdraw the H1. Okay.
Okay.
Before they gave us any decision on the withdrawal, they approved the H1. Okay. So we contacted them and we said, well, look, we asked for a withdrawal. We FedExed the letter. Why do we have an approval? And this is what USCIS gave it to us. They sent us an email in writing that if your request for withdrawal was received before we approved the case, we will honor that and we will not consider that approval to have been made. Okay. So,
and in that case, my L1 can continue, right? As in, even if I withdraw, my L1 won't jeopardize.
That is what it looks like, because that's what they told us. And that makes good sense. That makes good sense under law as well. Okay?
Okay. And if I try to do it consular posting, is it like a good chances to get it converted?
I do not know the answer to that question. This is not an agency that's predictable or consistent. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Raju.
You're welcome. Area code 678, this is Georgia.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Good. How?
I joined the conference late, so I think I missed your comment. I put the post about I'm a U.S. citizen and planning to get married in India. What are my options to bring my wife here? Go on a tourist visa or file I-130?
Now, try to please be on time because it wastes our time to repeat questions. Because I already commented on that. The answer I gave you was either apply for a fiancé visa before you get married and get married in USA. You can go back for ceremonies or whatever else you want, but get married in USA, which is the quickest. Or if you're going to get married in India, then do K3 I-130 combo.
Okay.
Okay.
And tourist visa is not the option in there.
Absolutely not the option, because that can amount to fraud. And then what will happen is, I will make a lot of money and you won't be happy.
Okay. So yes. Apply for the K3 visa before I get married.
K1 before you get married, K3 after you get married.
K1 before I get married.
K1 is fiancé visa and K3 is spouse.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Good luck, sir. You're welcome. Area code 571. My neighborhood, Herndon. Go ahead, please.
Hello, sir. My name is Ganesh. I've been working on an L1 visa in US for the last 4.5 years.
Okay,
I plan to go back to India somewhere around June or July. And I wish to come back on an H1 next year with a clock reset. So I wanted to know if I can come back next year, that's 2014, so whether I can apply in April 2014 before the one-year term finishes for the October entry 2014 to US, or will I have to wait for one full year before I can apply?
So far, USCIS's attitude is, or their holding is, that you must wait complete 12 months or 366 days before you can even apply for the H1.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, even if the lawyer mentions that the clock will be reset by October 1st, or so it doesn't work out that way, is it?
It does not work out that way.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, anyone who has any questions, new, old, doesn't matter, press star 5, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, in the order that you logged in. Area code 443, Maryland, go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Actually, my wife is on H1, and she has applied for a change of employer, and I'm on H4. So the thing is, like, her employer, he didn't file H4 for me. My H4 is valid till November 2013. He said it should be fine.
Okay.
So my concern is, like,
has she ever been out of status real quickly?
No, sir.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's what, sir. My concern is, like, I was just worried whether what would happen to my status.
No problem. You are good till November 2013, unless your wife's H1 gets denied. Okay.
Currently, she has moved to other employer, and he has applied for transfer.
Applied for transfer, right? So if that gets denied, then both of you would have to leave USA.
Okay. Okay.
And if it is not denied and it gets approved, you can then apply for your H4. As long as USCIS gets your H4 papers before November 2013, you are fine.
Okay.
So, in other words, the transfer request does not necessarily have to include an H4 right there.
Okay.
Okay?
So, I was concerned, like, whether I would become out of status or not. That's what my concern was.
Not at all.
Okay.
So, let me take you a second. This is hypothetical. Let's say your H4 was valid till 2015.
Okay.
And you did a transfer of employers. It would be perfectly okay for you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Okay. It would then be perfectly okay for you to wait till 2015 to apply for your H4 extension.
Okay.
Okay.
And another update I'd just like to give. My H1 got approved this year, and that is starting from October 2013.
That's even better. Then you should not do an H4. Just wait for H1 to kick in. Your H4 is expiring in November, H1 is kicking in October, you're all set?
Uh-huh.
Assuming that you've got your change of status.
Okay.
All right,
Roger.
Good luck.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. So.
H48 New Jersey, go ahead, please.
Hi, Raju. This is Hari and Lakshmi. Okay. We had question related to H1. Are you able to hear us?
I can hear you just fine. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Actually, my wife got H1 when she was in India in February, January 2007, and it got expired in September 2009. She came to US last year, February. So is she eligible to apply for H1 under CAP exemption?
Okay. When was her H1 approved?
H1 approved 2007
January. 2007
January.
So it's not within the last 6 years, right? It's
yeah, approved. I mean, it got stamped 2007 January, but she got petition 2006. I mean, December.
When did that expire? Was it till 2009?
Yeah, it expired in 2009 September.
Yeah, I think she should be entitled to a quota exemption. I think so.
Yeah, six years. After expiration, still we are in the 6 year period. That's why is it
I think she should be able to get her H1. No problem.
Okay. So right now she is on H4 status, right? So it is not going to give any problem, right? I mean.
No, I don't think so. I don't believe so.
Okay. Provided that that employer should not cancel that H1, right? Is there any possibility?
It is my belief that even if they cancel it, you should still be quota exempt.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yep. Okay.
And one more thing, we can apply under premium quota, right? Is it fine?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay.
All right.
But there is no, rejection. Higher rate, is there any chance?
I have never found that to be the truth. I hear people tell me that, but I don't believe that's true.
Okay.
So
he is eligible to cap exemption 6 years after 2009, right? That means 2015, is it correct?
I certainly hope so. I believe that is the case, yes.
Okay, to get confirmation, I mean, is there any way? I mean, can we connect to you directly?
You can. No. I'm not withholding information from you just because I don't want to make a couple hundred bucks just because. That's not it. If I know
not like that. Yeah. Please go ahead.
I think what you can do is contact your congressman and see if they can help you get that information.
Is it Congress?
Your congressman.
Congressman. Oh, okay.
Go to immigration.com and search for the words member of Congress.
Okay.
Member of Congress. And the third or fourth entry from the top will be a video that tells you how to do it.
Oh, okay. Sure.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks a lot, Raju. Thanks for your information.
Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Area code 847, Illinois. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Hi, Rajiv. I had a question about the new immigration bill. I know that you're going to cover more next week, but I just want to know if you can give me a quick response to this. I was wondering how the family category, the changes in the family category, is that going to affect sponsorship of parents? Or the parents are considered as immediate relative, and that's
immediate,
the thing.
Yes, that's what I believe. But Cruz, I think one of the gentlemen here said he believes that parents are being excluded. I don't think so. I think it's only brothers and sisters, siblings who are being taken out. Parents, I think, are still considered to be immediate relatives, and they are not covered by quota. I'll confirm it for you next week.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. This one is also from Illinois, 630, area code 630.
Hi, Rajiv. Can you hear me? I'm Reena.
Hi, Reena. I can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Actually, I have a question. I was working on H1. B from like 2007, and I did 2.5 year work, and I had to take a break for my son was born in 2009. I was on H4 all these years, and now I'm thinking to go back to work. I have a question: will I be exempt from quota, or I still go in the quota?
When did your last H1 period expire, ma'am?
August 2009.
I think you should be exempt from the quota. That's as far as I can tell. Yes.
Okay, I have one more question. Does this have any clause like if you visit India, we have to go back in the quota? Does that anything like that in there or no?
There is no such clause. No
such clause. So I can be exempt from the quota, right?
I believe so. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck, Lina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have two more questions to answer, and then we'll call it a day. California, area code 925, go ahead, please.
Hey, hi, Rajiv. My name is Balaji, and I'm on EAD for the last 1.5 years. I'm working on EAD. I'm past my 6 years H-1B. Now, my wife has not filed for GEC. Because she's on her own H-1. Her six-year term is expiring in 2014 next year. So she plans to move to EAD after that. Our question was, is it wise to conserve time on H-1 and move to EAD, for her to move to EAD right now? Because if there's a problem with my 485 for whatever reason later, at least one of us has time on H-1. And if we should move to EAD, what is the process of moving from H-1 to EAD being in the country? Can we just file an I-9, or do we need to go for a consulate stamping outside?
Okay. Got it. Balaji, here's what I'm not quite clear about. Your and your wife's 485s are both pending, correct?
Yes.
Okay. When you said she has not applied for green card, you meant she has not applied for green card separately.
Separately. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Yes.
Oh, no. I got it. I kind of understood what you said. Now, is it wise? I think yes. I think it's a good idea. What do you do?
Okay.
First thing to do is tell her employer to send a letter to USCIS revoking the H-1.
Okay.
Keep a copy of that letter, proof of FedEx delivery, keep all of that. And then the I-9 process should be done, which is give your wife's EAD to her HR, tell them to update her I-9.
Okay.
And that should take care.
Oh, so there is no need to leave the country for and to do a re-entry for a separate I-94 or something like that?
No, that you have to do only when you go from EAD to H-1.
Oh, okay.
When you go from H-1 to EAD, you don't have to do that.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Okay. And you think it's a wise move? Okay.
That's what I would do. If she were my sister, a member of my family, that's what I would do.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rajiv. Thanks.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Last question of the day is from Stamford, Connecticut, 203
Hi, Raju. Sorry to repeat my earlier question. So, it's again on this change of status denial thing, change of status processing thing. So, if USCIS itself denies my change of status, does that jeopardize my current L1 status, which is valid till 2000?
No, not at all. If USCIS denies your change of status, you continue to be on L1.
Okay. And if I request them to revoke, then I know you answered, but I because I am in a situation where
No, same thing. Then you will keep your L1, no problem.
Even if I request them to revoke it from my side and they accept it, my L1 still remains same, right? It's not like I lose H1 and I'm no more. As in, I'm...
No. Don't worry. If you get the request for revocation from your employer over to them in a timely manner, there should be no problem. Do it right away so that before it's approved, it gets revoked. You're fine.
Okay. And my third question is on a middle path, converting it to consular processing. In that case, my L1 I can continue till I want, and then I can get keep my H1 as well, because it's I got it through lottery. I don't want to lose that. So
if you are able to successfully do it. I said I'm not sure it will work. We have done it. It works, but there is no consistent process for it.
So sometimes they cannot even accept that and go ahead and approve it to the COS.
That is correct. Okay. They could approve the COS. So, yes, that can happen.
They may reject the amendment. That's what you're trying to say, right?
That is absolutely correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. One last question. As you said that you try to contact USCIS and ask them, is there a number where I can actually approach USCIS and ask them that I file with this number?
No. That happened because we had premium processing nature. When you have premium processing H1, you can actually email the USCIS directly.
Okay. But in my case, what is your suggestion? As in, I cannot approach them and try to identify whether there is a way to convert it to consular because of such reason I want to.
You can try contacting the USCIS customer service. That's the best you can do.
And tell them the receipt number which I got through the lottery and then say that this is the reason I want to convert it their way.
Not you, your employer.
Oh, okay. I cannot. My employer has to do whatever.
Employer or lawyer, not you.
Okay, I got it.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Good talking with all of you. I will see you in a couple of weeks. On Saturday morning? Yeah. Friday, we are doing the call for H1 and L1, 11 a.m. Then on Saturday, I think Monica will announce it. I'm just doing a short call, 15, 20 minutes, half an hour at the most, on filing for parents under the current law, because a lot of people have these common questions. So Saturday morning at 8 a.m. in the morning, I'll record a quick call. If you want to join this number, do so. I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks anyway. Thanks for being here, guys. Bye.